We're going through the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 5, beginning in chapter 5 today. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and then Resurrection Sunday after that. It seems like it's a little early to me, but that's okay. I think every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, so I just kind of treat it the same way all the time. But in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the superiority of Jesus Christ, and our songs today have been talking about the beautiful name, the wonderful name of Jesus, and all that He is. You can find your hope, your trust, all that you need is found in Christ. He made you, He created you, He sustains you, He watches over you, He guides you. He is everything. And sometimes we forget to remember that. And hopefully you'll be encouraged today as we look at this passage today. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to talk about two different sections. I have it outlined in your bulletin. The many imperfect high priests in the Old Covenant. And then the perfect priest, the one perfect priest in the New Covenant, our perfect priest, Jesus Christ. The first part is in verses 1 through 4. And let's look at this and see what the Bible says about the high priest of the Old Covenant. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins, as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So that's the first part of what we want to look at today. The many imperfect priests. Let's first look at their origins. It says here, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God. Among people had to be chosen these people who would be the priest, and in particular the high priest, who would be chosen by men on behalf of the instructions that God gave. But also we'll learn more and more as we move along about how they were chosen and some of the things about them. But just understanding that men had to be chosen, and these men were imperfect. Every one of them were imperfect. If you want to find an imperfect man, just find a man. Amen. I hear that. I hear a high-pitched,
amen.
I got it. But we're not going to talk about the women today, I'll tell you. So anyway, just understand that when the high priest, you know, when he would go into the Holy of Holies, there's the holy place, there's the temple, the holy place, the most holy place we call the Holy of Holies. When he would go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement, the practice was that they would tie something around his ankle, a cord, a rope of some sort around his ankles. And when he went in there, if he wasn't right with God and he dropped dead, they could pull him out. So you didn't, if you went in there, you'd drop dead too. Because of the imperfections, because of the holiness of God, the justice of God, and the representation of the very presence of God in that holy place. And everything screamed separation. Everything screamed, you don't belong in the presence of God because you're imperfect. It screamed that even among the priesthood. Even the high priest who could go in once a year could only go in once a year. And he better go in the way God said, or he won't be going coming out the way he went in. And by the way, I don't think it's recorded in history that that ever happened. Just a little lesson. The second part of that says they went in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. So the gifts would be more praise offerings to God that would be offered in grain offerings. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have food, that you have caused everything to grow and bless the crops. And they would bring these things before God, and the different other gifts you could bring before God, just to thank offerings is what we call it. And I hope that you do that. I hope that we don't bring grain and things into the room here, we don't do that. But I'll tell you, I hope you come into this place and really, I think one of the most important things we can do is just thank God. Just thank Him. If you say, I don't know what to thank Him for, We're going to have a talk. The list is longer than we can make ourselves, but if you're having trouble with it, you are having trouble. So they'd bring gifts and they'd bring sacrifices that God required, that they would bring animals for different sacrifices, for different sins, for all the different things that were taking place. And this is crazy. It was a very bloody thing. It was a sight. Every time an innocent animal was sacrificed on behalf of a guilty human being, there was a picture there that they could not get out of their minds. And that picture was that I caused this death of this innocent animal. Now, we'll get to the book of Hebrews. We'll find out no sacrifice ever made in that temple or in the tabernacle or anywhere ever paid for the sins of people. It just moved the judgment to later. And that's important. And we'll see that most importantly when we talk about Passover in a couple of Sundays and the resurrection of Christ. These men would offer these gifts, but they had to also do something very important that we want to point out about them in this part, their obligation. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses. They had to make offerings for their own sins, for what they had done. And that offering moved it forward to when Christ would pay the price once and for all. Every picture there was for Christ who's coming to pay once and for all. But now, here's a category that you might find yourself in. Ignorant and misguided. Don't raise your hand. But we know. Everybody in the room has been in the category at one time or another. You may find yourself in this ignorant and misguided. Now, when you're a priest in this setting, helping deal gently with the ignorant and misguided is easy because so are you. I can identify with you because I'm like you. I don't mean to insult you, but we're a lot alike. And you've got problems, and you're ignorant. You don't know things. Now, you can raise your hand on this. How many of you don't know anything? Almost got you. There's some things you don't know. I mean, you're ignorant. It doesn't mean you can't learn. It just means you just don't know it yet. Misguided. There's so many things that we do, and we think we're doing it the right way, and we find out later that wasn't the right way at all. God didn't want us to do it that way at all, and we didn't know. We find out. That's why when we come gather here on Sunday morning and you let me stand up here and talk to you, we look at what the Bible says. What happens is you find out where you've been misguided. I do it all the time. I think, oh, that's what the Bible says. I didn't realize that's what it was talking about. I didn't realize. And you apply it to your life. Now you're guided. Whereas before, you're misguided. The priest had to deal with people all the time like that, and they were like that themselves. I have to preach and tell you what the Bible says about you being ignorant and misguided, and I can identify because I am too. So we all have problems, don't we? I'm glad we can share them together. Very important. In this obligation, it says, because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for sins as for the people, but also for himself. So the imperfect priest would offer sacrifices for sins also for himself. Now that's an important thing to remember. Don't forget that. If I say don't forget it, does that mean you're going to remember it? We'll see. There's a test. Their ordination, look at this, no one takes the honor to himself but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. Nobody said, I want to be a priest. They say, well, that's not the way it works. You had to be born into the right tribe, the tribe of Levi, and you had to be chosen, especially in the high priest, you had to be chosen, and you didn't get to pick. Now, this is interesting to me, and a lot of things are that way. You were born into the family to which you were born, and you didn't have any choice. You know, if you could have, now this is a sad question, if you could have chosen, would you have chosen differently? I don't know. Family reunions sometimes make you think, I don't know. But if you went to someone else's family reunion, you'd say, I don't know about that one either. Every family's got problems. But you didn't get to pick what family you'd be born into, what tribe, if you were a Jewish person at that time. You don't get to pick that. But then now you are in that tribe. And within that tribe, you had to be picked. You had to be chosen. There were lots drawn for who was going to serve. And you had to be a man. You had to be 25 years old to 50 is when you served. And it was a lot of details about that whole old covenant system, which, as we'll learn in the book of Hebrews, was fading away and has now gone. So you don't take the honor to yourself. You don't get to volunteer to do this. It has to be chosen by God. Now you say, well, people make a lot of choices. A lot of choices are made, and then things happen, and here I am. I didn't choose this. Right. You didn't choose what kind of difficulties you're going to have in life. Sometimes you cause difficulties. We're not talking about that. Maybe physical maladies that you'll have. Maybe you've had problems from the time you were born until now physically, and you didn't get to choose that. God chose that for you, for your soul. You see, it's all about our souls, not about our bodies. It's all about eternity, not about now. If you can get a hold of that, put it on a bumper sticker. That's what it's about. You would find out that you can walk through life a whole lot easier knowing that God has made me like I am. God has limited me like He's limited me for a reason. I'm accountable to God only for the things that He wants me to be and do, not for what somebody else is going to be and do. I'm very comfortable. I've been myself ever since I was born. I grew up with me. I went to school with me and all that. You want me to keep going? No, you don't. Let's look at the most important part of this passage, the one perfect priest. Now, when you compare, and this is a comparison in this chapter, a comparison of the old priest, the old covenant priest, to the new covenant, one perfect priest, when you begin to compare those, you see why Jesus had to come to die for us and that He was the only one that could do it. This is like you're building up. You start talking about the priesthood and the priest, and people would put the priest way up. They were just, you know, ordained by God. God chose them and all that kind of stuff. But this passage explains, even they were very imperfect, and the high priest was very imperfect. And now you have this, the crescendo. So also Christ did not glorify Himself so as to become a high priest, but He who said to Him, "You are My Son, today I have begotten you." Just as He also says, and just as He says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Let's take the first part of this first, because it's a lot. The second part we'll take even later in the book of Hebrews. So I'll just talk about it a little bit. But "You are My Son, today I've begotten you." Physically speaking, Jesus coming to earth and taking on a physical body, God the Father said, "Today I have begotten you." The day Jesus came and took on human flesh, "Today I have begotten you." It was different. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus came and He emptied Himself. He laid aside a lot of privileges and responsibilities and things that He could have been as a human being, but He laid them aside and became human. And even though He was fully God, He was fully man, I don't understand the smallest part of it. I'm just telling you the way it is. This is true. Jesus had to depend on God the Father and God the Holy Spirit while He was walking on this earth. He limited Himself, and He did not glorify Himself to become a high priest. God the Father chose Him. God the Father set Him aside. It's a picture. This, in comparison, it fades. And it says, "You are a priest forever." Not in the old covenant. The old covenant priests, the imperfect men, those guys, 25 to 50, they served. After that, they couldn't serve anymore. It was temporary. And even when they did serve, they would serve by lot. Different parts of service they would have, and sometimes they would be doing something different. And they didn't get to be, you know, you read about it in the New Testament when John the Baptist's dad was, the lot came to him to serve the incense in the temple to symbolize prayer. And it was, he got to do that. Probably once in his whole life he got to do that. And an angel appeared to him, and then he came out and he couldn't talk. Yeah, I'm not going to go into the passage, but you go read it. I think it's in Luke. I think you'll find it. Anyway, here you have something very different. This one perfect priest is from the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek. What about him? Now you read about him in Genesis, and there's more to come about him. This is a commercial. Coming attractions, Melchizedek. You don't want to miss the sermon on Melchizedek. You know, you ever wonder who he is? Well, we're going to find out. Just to say this about this, the order of Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek is forever. And Jesus is the one priest that fits that forever priesthood. He always lives to make intercession for us. There's never a time that he's not interceding for us. It's beautiful. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Now, this is talking about our Lord Jesus. When he was on the earth in his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplication. You know what a prayer is? When you pray, it's a communication with God. Jesus communicated, the Son of God communicating with God the Father. That's prayers. You know what supplication is? The way I remember supplication is, Lord, help me! That's supplication. It's a little louder. It's a little shorter. It's when you don't know what else to pray. Help me, Lord. It's short. You don't have the words. And it's an emergency. That's what with loud crying and tears. Jesus crying. And with loud, it's just fascinating to think about Jesus doing this. And you think, well, what's this about? And you'll know that you see this picture in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there's any other way, Lord, let this cup pass from me, this cup of suffering, this cup of death, let it pass from me. He got the answer to the prayer, didn't he? There is no other way. Jesus prayed perfectly all the time. If there's any way this can pass from me, let it be. And the answer was, no other way. So it's insulting when humanity tries religiously to offer their good works to God as a way to heaven. It's insulting. Now, I'm good. I'm a pretty good person. Well, you're not pretty and you're not good. It's an ugly thing to say, God, I know what you did for me and how Jesus did all this, but I've got a few things to offer myself. I'll just do it myself. Wonder how many conversations there are in hell about that. You can't do it. There was no other way. And he was heard because of his piety, because of his surrender and submission to God. That's a verse I bet you haven't read much, huh? Very interesting. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. When he was on earth, he had to learn obedience from a child. He learned and he grew and he learned from suffering. And we also learn from suffering, don't we? So if I just want to learn more and more about God, you're going to have a lot of trouble. That's how you learn. You never know how much you depend on God until you have to. So if you want to learn and to trust God more and more, here's a truckload of trouble for you. Glad you asked for it. Well, even if you don't ask for it, I got news. It's going to happen anyway. You're going to get it. Why? God wants you to know him. He wants you to draw close to him. And our tendency is not to do that. Our tendency is to stay away from God, to avoid God and say, I'll just wait until the end and then I'll get right with God and I'll go to heaven. Ignorant and misguided are two words that come to mind. Ignorant and misguided. How could you be so ignorant and misguided when it comes to the most important thing, your soul? I don't know, but there are the majority of people whizzing out this Woodruff Road are ignorant and misguided. Spiritually, too. I just want you to know. But you find it. So pray for them as you drive down the road. You probably already do. Lord, help them. And having been made perfect, he became to all of those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. The source. The source. Eternal salvation. That is, you'll be saved eternally by God. You're going to be with him forever. The source of that is Christ. Jesus, our Lord. He's not just another choice of religious belief. He's the Lord of all. He's the one perfect priest. He's the only one. God made it simple. He said, I'm going to give you a choice. Door number one. Now, which one are you going to pick? The answer's one. But people miss it because they're ignorant and misguided, and they're ignorant and misguided in the most important thing. It's being designated by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. There's another commercial coming up. Just pay attention. Just understand it means the King of Righteousness. His title means King of Righteousness. There's an order of priesthood that never ends, and Jesus is the only one that fits. Very fascinating, the order of Melchizedek. Look at this one perfect priest, his origin. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he said to him, today I have begotten you. That's from Psalm 2:7. So God ordained him, God put him as the one perfect Son of God, our priest. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110 verse 4, in case you want to make notes of that, look that up. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with a loud cry and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Just remember what Jesus did when he was on this earth, when he cried out and he prayed. He did that for us. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. We talked about that. We're getting ready to come to a comparison at the end here that I think will make everything come home. Having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of salvation. Obeying him means you believe in Christ. You place your trust in Christ. That's the obedience. It's not that you try to obey all of these rules and then you obey him. Whoever believes in me, I will give him eternal life, Jesus said. It's believing in him. That's your work, believing. And believing is not just up here in your head. The devil believes in his head. It's believing with your life. It's a surrender to Christ. That's why I use the word surrender. I think it's a good picture of that. Look at the 8 comparisons in this passage. Jesus was God and man. Others were only men. Jesus was begotten by God as king, Psalm 2. Others were Levites and couldn't be king. That's another point. Jesus is a priest and a king. If you were a priest in the old covenant, you couldn't be a king. You're from the tribe of Levi, you couldn't be a king. You've got to be from the tribe of Judah. See how that works? Jesus was both. Not from the tribe of Levi, though. From the tribe of Judah. And he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus' priesthood is forever. Others serve from age 25 to 50. Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek. Others were Levites of the order of Aaron. Jesus approached God on his own. Others approached God through Jesus. Jesus learned complete obedience from suffering. Others were weak and disobedient. You can't get there through an earthly human priest. You have to come through Christ. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for once for all. Others continually offered imperfect sacrifices. And then the last one, Jesus is the source of eternal salvation. Others need the gift of eternal salvation. In these verses and this passage today, we find the one perfect priest, the one that mediates between us and God. And we need that. We need God to bridge the gap from where we are to where we need to be to God. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what's going on with you, what's happening in your thinking. If you have a strong dose of ignorance and misguidedness, I don't know where you are, but you do. You do. Between you and God. What if we can do that? Just between you and God. Just nobody else here. Pretend nobody else is here. Just between you and God, you could just say, God, please show me what I need. Just show me what I need. Have you ever asked God, Lord, if you're really there, would you show me? Show me the truth. And I want to tell you something very interesting about that. Many people have prayed that prayer, Lord. Just show me, Lord, if there's people, atheists, just show me if you're real, show me. I want to know the truth, God, just show me the truth. I got something to tell you. It's happened right in this room while you were sitting there. What are you waiting on? What I've just read to you, what I've just said to you, didn't come from me, obviously. It's from God. And look around. Do you don't see God? The Bible says he's invisible. But it's like the Spirit of God is like the wind that blows. I used to play with the kids. I'd say, kids, you ever see the wind? And they say, yeah. I said, tell what it looked like. Well, you know, the trees would go like the leaves would blow like. I said, that's not the wind. That's the leaves and the trees. They'd go, you know what I mean? I said, yes, I do. You looking for God? You look in the mirror. Creation of God is in the mirror. God made you. That you're sitting there living and breathing is amazing. If you don't get it when you hold a newborn baby, you'll never get it. But you know what? I'm preaching to the people who believe it. The world out there doesn't get it. God, show me. He's shown you. What's the way of salvation? Door number one, Jesus Christ. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Let's pray together. Father, as we pray together, we ask, Lord, that you help us. Lord, help us to concentrate on what we need, Lord. We need you. It is my prayer today. If anyone is here today just thinking about salvation, thinking about what it means to live forever, to have eternal life, that they would cry out to you and say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead, that I could be made right with God. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. And ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior, my high priest that made a way for me to come to God. And I come today, just like I am, to you. And ask, Lord, that you take me into your family, that I might be forever with you. And whatever comes this week, this year, in my lifetime, carry me through it, guide me through it, and show me more of who you are. And I pray that in Jesus' name.